This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good Monday morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for April 13th, episode 1146, brought to you by Omega Alpha Equine. Good morning, horse world.
Yep, it's Monday.
All right, let's take it from the top again.
That's right. Wake up grateful. And for those of you that slept all night long, you can be grateful for that. My child, Glenn, woke up at 3, wide awake. Mom, Mom, Mom. If I have heard my name once, I have heard it 10,000 times since 3 a.m. this morning. I don't understand. Finally, he went back to sleep, and my alarm went off. I was like, you've got to be kidding me. This is ridiculous. So, yeah, just Mom. Mom, Mom.
Well, you were complaining like, last week that he didn't know your name. Now he knows your name and you're complaining.
He knows it. He knows it. You know, he knows my name, Minion, and SpongeBob. Now we're all a team.
It's too bad he wasn't saying Minion, Minion all night long, because that would have been better. You wouldn't have had to get up then.
I could have ignored him.
Yes, he's not talking to me.
It's like
let the Minion handle it.
When they sit there yelling, Mom, 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 you just have to go. I mean, it's like, and then I get in there and it's like, hi. Oh.
He was awake.
He came
he
this
was
whole
ready.
Way. How's it going? What's going on? You've been sleeping? What? So there's no sleeping anymore in this house, apparently. So if I'm up, everybody's up. So I just want to let you know I'm a little slow today. That's why.
I saw you on Facebook at some ungodly hour when I got up, and I was like, what's she doing up?
Mm-hmm, so
I
you know.
I knew that. Yeah, I knew something was going on. And then you were sending me messages about an hour earlier than normal today. It was like, yep, she's up.
Yep, I'm up. And I feel bad for, like, our moms, right? Because we got up in the middle of the night when we were kids and just woke up. And you know what? They didn't have smartphones to keep them entertained. I don't know what I would do without, you know, Facebook and Words with Friends in the middle of the night. I just really appreciate my smartphone because when I can't sleep or I'm not allowed to sleep, I turn to the smartphone. It's my friend. I feel bad for our parents. I don't know how they did it.
I don't know either because there was nothing on at 3 in the morning on TV except infomercials. Or some of the stations had gone off the air. Remember they play that little music at about 2 in the morning and put that graphic on the screen, and then it went away. And then there was no TV till 6.
You know what? If we told kids that right now, they'd be like, yeah, sure. And you probably had to stand next to the wall to talk on phones, too. I mean, they don't even, you know, kids today. I'm not even 40, and I'm like, kids today. I don't know how good they have.
I think we've gone full circle because I don't know anybody who can stand wherever they want to and talk on their cell phone.
That's
true.
Still have to go to the wall. Still have to go to the window, stick your head out.
We go to the end of the house. It's a good point. Hey, Jennifer, what is coming up on today's show?
On today's Omega Alpha Monday edition, once we have worked our way through our co-host's weekend recovery routine, Linda is stopping by to tell us why we could call the Del Mar National Horse Show the melting pot of horse shows. And then after the break, the Wacky World of Horse Nation has the laugh track for the week. And the entries are in, so we will be picking our favorites for the Rolex Kentucky 3-day event with a little help from Eventing Nation's Jenny Autry. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
Can't believe Rolex starts next week already.
Gosh. Where did April go?
Hey, guys, I'm going to have to let you do the Daily Winnie without me. I'll be right back, okay?
Okay.
There he goes. Stick me. I guess you're... Would you like to be up first, Jamie?
Oh, he's actually really leaving. Okay.
He really left.
Do his Daily Winnie.
I don't even know what his Daily Winnie is. Selfie stick man who has over a million views. Let's see what that is. Man kissed horse.
I'll do mine. Hit the button again.
Okay.
Well.
Yeah. Let me get the... Now he has them all rearranged, and now I have to find...
I got it. Here we go. Oh, my God. 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 Could you die? 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 Do you know what's happening next Friday or this Friday? Only 5 days away. That's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. 4 more sleeps. Until, dun-dun-dun-dun, are you ready? Cosmic One, the first foal out of Zenyatta. That's right, the Cosmic One, Prince Cosmic One, is going to race at Santa Anita. He has been entered in a one-mile maiden race for three-year-olds at Santa Anita. Victor Espinosa, who obviously rode California Chrome, he is going to be the jockey for Cosmic One. It is not Mike Smith. It is Victor Espinosa. Friday race number 2, Santa Anita. Post time approximately 1:30 p.m. That's our time, so it's 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4, 30 p.m. your time. I have to do the math. where you live now. So yes. 1:30 p.m. West Coast time, Santa Anita post. He's actually in post position 1. He will be on the rail in race 2 this Friday.
Now,
that's right.
Quick question, because I don't know anything about horse racing. Is a one-mile maiden a relatively long race for a maiden race? That seems long.
You know what? I don't know. All of them are different. But, yeah, I would think 6 furlongs, 5 furlongs would be something you would start with, but I don't know. From what I understand, Cosmic One is quite the fractious young man.
Jamie, let me interrupt here quick. I have to head out because I have to go to the doctor. The only time they can see me today is right now. Asthma has gotten worse and worse, and other than coughing in your ear for the next hour and a half, I'm going to let you and Jennifer handle the show today.
Okay. Well, hope you feel better, boss.
All right. Thanks.
And I'm going to totally, totally going to do this to him sometime too. Hey,
yeah.
I'm going to leave now.
Don't make me laugh.
Get up. Bye. Leave.
Get out.
Go get better. Jennifer's sticky. You too. Yes, that is, I forgot what we were saying, but Friday, race 2, Santa Anita, post time 1:30. I'm so excited. But yes,
cool.
He is very fractious what I've read, and has been very difficult. And they said that they would have loved to get him ready for the Kentucky Derby, but physically he was ready, mentally he was not. Apparently he has been very, very challenging.
Uh-oh. Now, if he was not racing royalty, would he be a gelding right now?
I would imagine he would have been gelded quite a while ago, actually.
Yeah. That's what we can read into that one right there.
That's exactly right. Poor John Sheriffs. He's like, I'm trying to find the quote, but it was pretty funny how they were talking about they're talking about Zenyatta and how he basically takes after Zenyatta in the lessons that they've both had to learn. They said his occasionally high-strung nature is something they've had to wrestle with from mother and son. I guess he follows in her footsteps. So pent-up brilliance is what they're calling it.
I like that, pent-up brilliance. Next time Edward has a meltdown, just tell everybody he's releasing his pent-up brilliance.
Yes, that's a good point. Hey, if Cosmic One can have pent-up brilliance, they said that he had an incredibly difficult to shake biting habits and also incidents walking around the shed row. He said, how are you going to teach a horse anything when you can't hardly handle him? He's big, he's strong, he never gets tired. So you can't go, oh, just jog him twice and he'll be okay. That doesn't work. This is Judge Griffith's trainer. So apparently he was out galloping one day, and he was galloping just around with the exercise rider, and he just hit the brakes and ducked to the right. I didn't say the rider, but he's been very naughty. John Sheriff says he knows where the quarter pole is. He'll take off and then stop. He's done. So he's been incredibly challenging, I think.
Maybe that's why Mike Smith's not riding him. Mike Smith said, forget it.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Victor Espinosa says that every time I work him, he comes up with something different. But he said, now he's starting to, he does it his own way, but it's fun. But now he's starting to get a little more mature. So they are putting him in a race. I'm sure that's what I was thinking, Jennifer, was when they put him in a mile, maybe they just need to run him. You know, like, just go.
Just get it over with, yeah. Just jump. Just jump in the deep end and figure it out.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So exactly.
And with a crowd of a whole heap of other horses in the field, because what, it's a 7-horse field, that might be what he needs. Like, oh, this is what I'm supposed to do. Run along with the other horses. He needs some motivation.
It'll be interesting to watch that race and see if he does start to understand what he's doing or if he just stops and turns around and goes back the other way, you know? Who knows?
Well, I want to watch this race, or it's got to be live streamed somewhere, because just for the potential for complete, chaos.
Oh, man. Or brilliance, pent-up brilliance. You never know.
So there's potential from 7 different horses for complete chaos.
Yes, exactly. I mean, it makes me want to drive out to California and watch it. It's what it makes me want to do. My gosh, how cool would that be to be there for Zenyatta Sun's first race? Can you imagine how crazy it's going to be? This has been shared over Facebook like a billion times. She has such a huge fan base, Zenyatta, so it's going to be interesting to watch. To watch how everybody handles. As poor other horses are going to be like, this how it is all the time.
Well, yeah, because the crowd is going to go nuts. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Speaking of horse racing, Jennifer, I know you were not planning on going to the Kentucky Derby this year. However, those who are going, unfortunately, there's some rules that they're imposing this year. First of all, you can't go to your car, drink a bunch of booze, and then come back to get in the gates. There will be no re-entry permitted on Kentucky Derby and Kentucky Oaks Day. They're also cracking down on a couple items that cannot be carried into the track. Do you know what selfie sticks are?
Glenn keeps talking about the selfie stick thing. Isn't that the little, I always thought it was just a really fancy tripod for your camera. It's this little short stick. You put your phone on the end of it so you can take your picture without your nose looking big.
Chad Squadron, he's in the Singapore, he flies with the Singaporean guys, and every one of them carry those around. It's crazy. Every, like, function, everybody has a selfie stick. I thought it was an Asian thing, but apparently not. You cannot take them into the Kentucky Derby. The other thing that they are really not going to let you have in there is drones. No drones allowed.
Do they mean your boring Uncle Harold, or do they mean the remote control flying machine?
Seriously, no remote. That's it. They say no remote control aircraft, including drones. Who brings drones to the Kentucky Derby? Like, who brings drones places? I guess it just seems a little bit strange. And a good rule, I guess. You know, you have to make these rules for things that pop up and are invented constantly. So no drones.
Can you imagine? Well, I guess for the Derby, these are people who don't understand. They don't get it. These are people who have races across the tops of porta potties. So I guess you have to come to that lowest common denominator thing. Don't bring a drone to a horse race.
Yes, please. Don't bring a drone. Hey, speaking of horse races, over the weekend, We just keep whittling them down to just these absolutely amazing young horses that are going to be entered in the Kentucky Derby. And American Pharoah is one of the top favorite picks. And I've kind of gone back and forth between liking Dortmund and American Pharoah. They're both just so absolutely incredible. Well, American Pharoah ran in the $1 million Arkansas Derby this past weekend. Do you want to hear it?
Oh, gosh, yeah, that'd be cool.
Okay, here we go. Here it goes.
They're off.
There you go.
American Pharoah begins beautifully. Mr. Z taken in hand immediately, and Bridget's Big Lovey in between them will take a narrow lead. Made from Lucky Fourth through the opening furlong. Then it's Win the Space on the outside of the Truth or Else, Bold Conquest, and Far Right will do his best running later. Long shot, Bridget's Big Lovey sets the tempo. In front by 2.5 lengths, American Pharoah settles nicely. Mr. Z, a handful in third, is guided off the rail now. Another four back to Made from Lucky Fourth, already 10 lengths off the early tempo. The Truth or Else, Bold Conquest, racing between horses, Win the Space outside of him, and another six to Far Right. Straightening away down the backstretch, it's Bridget's Big Lovey, clear by four. American Pharoah second, Mr. Z is outside of him. Then it's the Truth or Else fourth and inching a bit closer. Made from Lucky has asked him go now. He's 8 lengths off the lead. Outside of him, it's Win the Space. Bold Conquest, a dozen off him, and Far Right at the back. It's still Bridget's Big Lovey with less than 3/8 of a mile to go. American Pharoah gets his cue and starts to cut into the margin now. Mr. Z is in third. The Truth or Else, a ground-saving fourth. The Maiden is fifth. Win the Space. He's only 5 lengths off the lead. There's a new leader at the top of the stretch. It's American Pharoah putting away Bridget's Big Lovey. Mr. Z moves into second. On the outside, Win the Space and the Truth or Else. There's an 1/8 of a mile to go, and American Pharoah is putting on a show. He has not been asked the question, but everyone knows the answer. He is indeed the ruler, American Pharoah. Breathtaking in a mesmerizing performance as he dominates the Arkansas Derby.
Oh, my gosh, he just ran away with it. It was insane. This is a 3-year-old, and he just blew away all 7 of the other horses. I mean, it was incredible to watch. It, just fantastic. Usually he runs in the front, and that horse with the dumbest name ever, Bridget's Big Lovey, like, took off.
I was kind of wondering about that.
Yeah, what a terrible plus. I'm sure Bridget loves it, but her Big Lovey does not sound good, especially when you're running up against horses like American Pharoah. You sound really silly.
That is a classy name.
But anyway.
That is a Triple Crown worthy name, I will say that.
American Pharoah, yeah, that's a great name. That is just a really strong name. Anyway, Mr. Z also did qualify for the Kentucky Derby, as did the third horse, the horse that came in second. So at any rate, American Pharoah usually likes to go to the front, and they were going to see if he could rate a little bit because that horse just took off. So Victor Espinosa just stood, basically sat there. It was just a very impressive ride. I mean, he didn't go to the stick. He just, the horse came around the corner. He was like, okay, let's go, and just took off. It was awesome. However, the horses that are looking really good are the 1-2 punch. Dortmund and American Pharoah are the kind of the two favorites, with along with Carpe Diem. So those are the three. But I wanted to read you this quote from Far Right's trainer, Ron Moquette, okay? He came in second place. Far Right's jockey was none other than Mike Smith. And this quote in the article just cracks me up. First of all, he came in second place. Far Right's trainer said, "Today we saw a great race by a superhero, a super horse. Mike said that when he saw that horse kick clear, he was going to do just enough to get a second. And he did. At that point, it didn't matter if it was 2 links or 10 links. Second is still second." That's right, Mike Smith, second place. second to second. It doesn't matter how much it is, second to second. Why? Oh, my God. They're just the irony. If you listen to this show, you know how frustrated I get with Mike Smith and that 20th race that he rode Zenyatta in where he got second place. And so that's why I get a little bit frustrated with Mike Smith. And here we go. Here's the whole quote. Second to second. No matter what, Mike Smith just wanted to get second. And he did.
And you know,
you're still going to have to race against that horse at some point in the future and try to win. So anyway, I thought that was funny. Dortmund, American Pharoah, Carpe Diem, International Star is fourth. Materiality is fifth. And these are the top 10 Derby horse contenders. Sixth is Frosted, which, you know, it's a gray. Never bet the gray. Firing Line is seventh. Mubtahi is eighth. Upstart is ninth. And tenth is Far Right. And these are all horses that are, again, pointed to the Kentucky Derby. Hopefully they all make it there safe and sound.
Far Right is the one who just came in second place to
American Pharoah.
American Pharoah.
Yeah.
Now, I had a question. Where was that? Carpe Diem, National Star, Materiality. Questions gone.
Carpe Diem. I'm not a huge fan of, simply because, you know, I lost a lot of money on him at the Breeders' Cup. That darn Texas Red coming in there.
You know, it was a little disappointing. I wish I could find it again. I came across a spreadsheet that had the top, I think it was the top 25 point standings, because they do it by point standings now. There are specific races that they earn points in, and it's just crazy system they're using right now. And it was really disappointing this year because, you know, I always like to get the heartstring tugging stories and the underdogs and stuff like that when it comes to the Derby races. And at least the top 20 are just awash with all the giant farms and big name trainers and, you know, the usual suspects, so to speak. And I think for 2018, I've heard rumors that they're going to rename it, instead of the Kentucky Derby by Yum Brands, is going to be the Kentucky Derby by Todd Pletcher.
Yes, it could be. However, this year it will be the Kentucky Derby by Bob Baffert. And
is it
that
Bob Baffert's
is the guy? Yes, yeah. Dortmund and American Pharoah, the two number one, 1-2 punch is both. It's going to be amazing to see one of these guys lose. You know, I mean, these horses don't lose. Dortmund and American Pharoah. Kayla, Dortmund is coming into the race again by Big Brown, and he's undefeated in his entire life. American Pharoah has 5 starts, and he's won 4 of them. And I think the first one, I think the only one he didn't win was his first race out. So he's incredibly impressive, too. They just don't lose.
I don't know, but the Derby's a whole different story. They've never raced, none of them will have ever run in a field of 20. It's just, it's going to be a,
yeah.
Yeah.
I
favorites
guess
don't win.
Well, you know what? That's funny you mentioned that, because I think one of the first favorites I ever remember winning was Fusaichi Pegasus, and he's got, I think, 2 sons that are going to run in this. So
yeah,
it could happen. Big Brown.
Yeah.
Big Brown was a favorite, and he won, and Dortmund is a son of Big Brown. So you know what? You know what else I wanted to mention is – back to the race with this Friday with Cosmic One, Cause going to run Santa Anita first race. Guess who else is in the race?
Uh-oh.
A Son of Blame, which is the only horse that ever beat Zenyatta. Isn't that like kind of funny?
How ironic is that?
I know. I thought that was kind of interesting.
Is there going to be trash talk at the gates when those two colts are loading?
Right?
Who's your mama?
Who's your daddy? I think she beat him more than he beat her, so it happens. But it'll be good. It'll be good. I'm excited. Now, the other thing, do you know much about what happened to Guy McLean? Yes, this weekend at Equine Affair.
I kind of know the gist of it. We already posted Glenn posted the YouTube video up on our Horses in the Morning Facebook page. He was performing at the Ohio Equine Affair they do an evening entertainment performance. I think it's called Fantasia. And something went terribly awry as he was running madcap across the arena, cracking his whip as is his habit. And he got to the end of the arena, and instead of the horse turning or coming to a controlled screeching halt like he usually does, the horse galloped right up to the wall of the arena, and it's an indoor coliseum, and the front legs kind of went up in the air a little bit like, oh, it looks like I'm supposed to jump into the audience. And he got about halfway into the audience, but unfortunately, Guy McLean got the whole way into the audience and got chucked off and separated his shoulder and did some other damage, and it was pretty dramatic and scary. There were lots of oohs and ahs from the audience.
It's a 14-second long video, so if you haven't seen it, go to our Horses in the Morning Facebook page. He comes in cracking the whip. The man from Snowy River is playing. He comes in cracking the bullwhip, and the horse just runs straight at the wall. I mean, he just runs it straight at the wall. And the horse is like, okay, Dad, we're going to the wall. I don't understand how that happened. Like, was he not paying attention? Was the horse not paying attention? Was somebody guessing about where to go? But, yeah, the horse basically was like, okay, Dad, I'm going to climb the wall. Whatever you tell me.
Yeah.
And he just didn't steer him away. It was so bizarre. And I'm glad they're both okay. Now, the good news is, I mean, Guy is a little bit hurt, and he went to the hospital. But the horse, that could have been incredibly bad. And you know what?
Yep.
It wasn't. The horse is totally fine.
Yep. And partly due to luck and partly due to the way they designed the walls in these coliseums, the wall is slanted so that if a horse hits it, he's likely to not slip directly over it. You know how the front portion of a cross-country jump is slanted towards the ground line for that same reason? So partly design and partly... Yeah, so slightly good luck. Hey, can you check out a couple of more news stories for everybody? I got to give our first guest a call.
Okay, absolutely. Oh, my goodness. You know what I want to do right now, because Glenn just left me in a lurch? I'm going to play a song. I want to hear a song. Let's see. Where is it? Sorry, you guys.
There?
Yeah, I want to play The Girls and Horses. Do you see it?
Oh, that's
can
under
you play
E.
It?
I can hit the button.
Okay.
Well, I can hit the button again. There we go.
All right, Glenn's gone. We're going to play songs.
Yeah, yeah.
Templeton Thompson, Girls and Horses.
Well, she talks about them, dreams about them, thinks about them all the time. She's got to have them. Being lost without, you can see it in her eyes. What is it? What is it with girls and horses? She said, now when I was a young girl, they were my whole world. They were. I live to love them, and I love to ride. always have them, be lost without. There's magic in those interlines. What is it? What is it with girls and horses? What is it?
That's right. That's what happened when Glenn leaves, is we get to play that song whenever we want. Heck, we must play it again. I don't know.
Well, later.
It
yeah,
could happen. Well, we've got our first guest on the line, Lynn Dzwig from Del Mar, the Del Mar National Horse Show, which is happening April 16th to May 3rd. And we'll welcome Linda. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning. How are you guys doing out there?
Are you in California right now? Because you are wide awake and perky, girlfriend.
Well, you know, I had two double espressos, so I woke up. I can't just pop out of bed. It takes me a little while, so I got up at about 5:15 and sort of crawled over to the kitchen. And so I've been up at my computer, so now I'm buzzing, and I hope to get a workout in after this. So, But I have to get used to it because the Del Mar National is opening this week, and I start television at 0:30. My first hit is at 5 a.m. This Thursday, so I have to kind of get into this groove.
Well, tell me a little bit about yourself and what you do at the Del Mar Horse Show.
Well, I am actually the spokesperson, media relations, public information officer for the Del Mar Fairgrounds. I'm at the Del Mar Fairgrounds all year long. We have over 300 events. Including the Del Mar National, but also we have the largest event in Southern California that opens on June 5th, and that is the San Diego County Fair. We are the fourth largest fair in North America, and people always ask me, what do you do all year? The fair is only 25 days long. Well, you know, it takes over a year to get it up on its feet. Plus, we have over 300 events, one of them being the Del Mar National Horse Show, which is opening, as you mentioned, this Thursday for its 70th year.
Wow, 70
I'm
years.
I'm out of breath listening to you.
Yeah. Well, we are on the map. It is one of the top five horse shows in the United States. It started, as I mentioned, 70 years ago as part of the San Diego County Fair. The San Diego County Fair has been up and running since 1889 and opened at the Del Mar Fairgrounds in 1936. I know you must know a little bit about the fairgrounds. It is on the map. The Del Mar Thoroughbred Club now has two live horse racing meets. Bing Crosby, Jimmy Durante, Pat O'Brien, and a plethora of other movie stars and celebrities opened the Del Mar Fairgrounds in 1936. And since that time, the Del Mar National, of course, and Del Mar Fair, or San Diego County Fair, has taken place there. And it is a historic landmark. And so, therefore, this is a pretty big deal because it opened as part of the San Diego County Fair, but grew so much that in 1979, it became an event on its own and takes place in our Del Mar Arena. And you just interrupt me anytime because you tell me to talk, I'll just keep talking. We have 3 weeks of discipline. Of course, Western Week opens this week, followed by Dressage Week the following week, and ends up with Hunter Jumper Week with the $100,000 Grand Prix of Del Mar. Now I'll pause here and let you ask me a question.
Yeah, this is great. I wish all of our guests were like this. Now, this is the same place, Del Mar, where the racetrack is, and where is the arena in relation? Is it in the infield? Is it around the edges? Well, how does it look?
Okay, you can see the arena from the freeway and from the Via de la Valle. If you're coming off the freeway off of Via de la Valle towards Jimmy Durante Boulevard, it is on the far east side off the main parking lot. So if you're coming off the freeway, you just take Via de la Valle, follow the signs, Jimmy Durante Boulevard, and come on in the main gate, and you will see it to your right. It is on the northeast side of the fairgrounds. And so it's very visible, as the racetrack is. It's a beautiful, I mean, you know, it's where the turf meets the surf, so it's an absolutely gorgeous venue and a gorgeous location on our fairgrounds. And one of the, when you had emailed me and sent me a list of questions, I want to talk about the horse show itself, but you asked if there was shopping, and I know this is sort of a girls' show today. Yes, there is shopping. In fact, it's one of my favorite things to do during the Del Mar National. We have fabulous vendors. There's lots of clothing and boots and riding apparel and, of course, the professional side for all of the three disciplines. And so if you come every week, which I hope some of your listeners may be coming down here during this three-week period, it is a lot of fun. During the week for all three disciplines, Western dressage and hunter jumper, you can come and watch, and it is free during the day. But the highlight of all 3 weeks is our Saturday night events. And this Saturday we have Night of the Horse for Western Week, followed by Evening of Musical Freestyles for dressage, and of course the for hunter jumper, the $100,000 Grand Prix of Del Mar. And there are private boxes, and there's dinners, and you can just have so much fun. And of course, you know, going fast forward to dressage and hunter jumper, you know, we've had Olympians. We were an Olympian site where they had to qualify for the Olympics a couple of years ago. Del Mar National, as I mentioned, is a pretty big deal. And, you know, we are on the world stage. We've officially retired some pretty famous horses here. You know, Stephen Peters, two-time Olympian and world champion Ravel, retired a few years ago. Richard Spooner's Robinson retired as well. So it's a pretty big deal.
Absolutely it is. Now, I've got to ask, because you've got the three separate weeks. You've got the Western week, Hunter Jumper week, and Dressage week. First question about that, which one has the most prize money? Because I'm in the wrong sport.
Well,
I'm an eventer, and we don't win anything.
Well, first of all, we have over 3,000 horses that come during the 3 weeks. And the big purse, during the three-week period, there's over $350,000 in prize money. And it's the $100,000 Grand Prix of Del Mar that takes place Hunter Jumper Week, and that's on that last Saturday. And that is a lot of fun. Gail Harvey is the manager for Hunter Jumper, and he brings a lot of fun to that evening. It starts early, around 6 o'clock, and usually there's a bunch of celebrities. Sometimes they have a ride and drive. Last year they had it's so early here, I'm at a loss for words, if you can believe it, but they went in and out of the arena. It was sort of like a ride and drive, but they had a lot of fun and jumping and going around about the barrels. And of course, so as I mentioned, we've had a lot of celebrities here for that. Among them, Steven Spielberg was here a few years ago, and their daughter rides, and a lot of Hollywood celebrity types. So it's a place, even if you're not involved in any sort of the disciplines, it's a lot of fun to bring the family. Every year I meet people who say, oh my God, I never knew this was here. I'm not a rider, but this is a lot of fun. And they now come all 3 weeks of the discipline, and they say, how long has it been here? Well, you know, we're hitting our 70th year.
That's amazing. Yeah, it's absolutely one of the most beautiful places. When I drove by Del Mar, the track, my husband and I put it on our list for this coming year to go to the track and just be, mm-hmm. I mean, like you said, where the surf meets the turf. I mean, it's one of the most beautiful places on the planet, San Diego. So you can't really go wrong. And you're so mired in, and what I like about the area is the historic Hollywood kind of glitz and glamour that goes on. I mean, all the streets are named after old celebrities and famous actors and movie people, and so it makes sense that celebrities would make their way out to the Del Mar Horse Show. It's just it's fun to go to a Grand Prix jumper, even if you don't know any of them. You know, I mean, it's just an absolutely fun thing to do, and then go to a dressage freestyle is really, you know, you can't beat it. And I know people love to go to reining. I mean, it's always super fun when there's reining freestyles. So you can't really wrong with it.
You can't. You really can't. I don't mean to interrupt you, but I just want, as your listeners are listening, take a look at DelmarNational.com. And that's our website, and it'll describe all 3 weeks, Western Dressage and Hunter Jumper Week. I just want to mention this Saturday, Night of the Horses, is a pretty big deal. We have a bunch of folks that you might know that are going to be performing, Tommy Turvey and his horse Poker Joe. This is a real family event. It is an evening's entertainment like you will get nowhere else. Bobby Kerr is going to be coming. He is a big, big favorite. His Mustangs drive cars, and there's reining horses and cutting and working cow horses, and it's just a lot of fun. Knights of Iceland, we have those big horses that are going to be out and about with the fire, and it's just absolutely breathtaking. And this year we're having the Peruvian Pasos, and they are going to be accompanied by their dancers, and there's going to be music. And the theme of the evening, food-wise, for those who can get a box, they're almost sold out right now. We're going to be featuring Peruvian cuisine in those boxes, and they're a lot of fun. Drinks and food, and you're treated like kings and queens. It's just, I can't say enough about it. And then, of course, dressage the following week, evening of musical freestyles. You know, what people don't understand, first of all, visually it's beautiful. The horses are beautiful and the costumes are beautiful. But as you well know, and a lot of your listeners know, the control of the horses is all done by the way that your legs are positioned, how you're seated on top of the horse. It's the ballet of horse riding, and it is absolutely fantastic and just one. When you think about how difficult it is, where the horse and the rider become one, and just by a little maneuver with your legs, you can make that horse do magnificent things, and it's just stunning to watch.
Absolutely. Now, you said that it is free to get in during the day, 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. It's free.
Yes,
and
it
then at night, what is it cost you?
The paid events are on the Saturday nights, and that's when we have tickets for the shows. And, for instance, for Hunter Jumper weeknight shows, sometimes there's a $10 grandstand fee and $15 for box seats. But for the Saturday night shows, it's $19 for the grandstand. There are reserved box seats as well. As I mentioned, those box seats include food and drink, and you're right off the arena edge.
Yeah, it's really a cool place to be. So April 16th through the 19th, Western Week, 23rd through the 26th is dressage, and then 28th through May 3rd is Hunter Jumper. Now, do the Hunter Jumpers come, like, do they show up, like, on the day that they're supposed to go, or are they kind of
Western Week? Yeah, well, we have Western Week the first week, and usually what happens the last day on that Sunday, they start to move out, and the next morning or that evening, the following week, folks start to come in. We'll start to get our dressage folks Sunday night and Monday, because we're dark on Monday, and they'll start coming in, and then the same thing will happen for Hunter Jumper. But some of them are here now. You know, we're on the map, as I mentioned, and a lot of folks come in early, and they spend a couple weeks here prior to their competitions, and so we can accommodate over 3,000 horses at the Del Mar Fairgrounds, and so they come early. Their horses are here. They're here in their RVs, and they're here in the hotels in the area. I mean, you know, as I mentioned earlier, the Del Mar Fairgrounds is host to over 300 events, and during these large events, like the Del Mar National Horse Show, on the front end, you have these folks that come in 2 to 3 weeks, sometimes 4 weeks prior to the event, and they stay at the back end as well. So we have a major positive impact on the local economy with the hotels and the restaurants and shopping in the area. You know, we have beautiful cities on the beach here. We have Del Mar to the south and Solana Beach to the north, and we have up and down the coast, La Jolla, all the way up to Oceanside. And we employ during the year up to 5,000 people here, and we have a $450 million economic impact on the local economy. And so everybody benefits here besides our visitors. Our local economy does. And earlier you mentioned our Hollywood history. You know, we're about 2 hours from Los Angeles, and the reason why Del Mar, La Jolla, and up and down the coast here, and including Palm Springs, became so popular with the Hollywood elite is because they could drive just a couple of hours and get out of the hectic work schedule that they had, and they fell in love with these beach communities and, of course, the desert as well. And, you know, just a quick little history here. Desi Arnaz and Lucille Ball also fell in love with this area, and they had homes here. And, in fact, Gregory Peck and Cliff Robertson opened the La Jolla Playhouse years and years ago, where the Hollywood folks could come and do a little theater. And back in the 50s, when Lucy and Desi were putting together a little old television sitcom, they were looking to cast the show, and Gregory Peck called Desi Arnaz and said, we have a girl here that might work out well to be Lucy's sidekick. And Vivian Vance was discovered on the La Jolla Playhouse stage and became Ethel for the I Love Lucy series.
Oh, you're kidding me. What a cool story.
Yeah.
That's really...
And I can go on and on about our Hollywood history. I mean, let me think here. Our CEO for the Delmar Thoroughbred Club is Joe Harper, and he is the grandson of Cecil B. DeMille, and all the Hollywood elite used to hang out on inside a private club on the fifth floor of the grandstand, and that's where Joe told me that Bing Crosby and Bob Hope came up with the idea for the road movies, Road to Rio, Road to Morocco, etc., because they used to banter around on the piano. They did this sort of song and dance and joking around, and they said, hey, we got something here, and the rest
now,
is history.
Now, let's be honest. They were drinking. They were drinking, and they came up with it.
Yeah, but it worked well. It worked in their favor.
It did. Well, listen, Linda, yeah. It has been an absolute pleasure talking to you and having you on, and your excitement for the Del Mar Horse Show is definitely contagious, and I hope to someday make it there.
Well, you better let me know. We'll treat you well, and if you're if any of your listeners come, please look me up. All my contact information is on our website. You could just go to DelmarFairgrounds.com, and it will lead you to the Del Mar National Horse Show. It will lead you to Del Mar Thoroughbred Club, the San Diego County Fair. And I hope to see some of your listeners if they're in the area. Again, DelmarNational.com, DelmarFairgrounds.com. It's going to be a great 3 weeks, so we look forward to it. This is our crazy period. We go from the Del Mar National right into the San Diego County Fair, and then to the first live horse race meet in July, and then we have a second Bing Crosby meet that started last year in the fall. So there's a lot going on, and we have beautiful weather all year long here.
Absolutely do, and thank you. That's DelmarNational.com, and Linda, really appreciate you being on the show. We'll catch up with you another time very soon.
My pleasure.
All right, thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Dude, it is so beautiful there all year round. There's no wonder nobody can afford to live there because it's so amazing.
Everybody wants to. That's why.
That's why people commute for hours and hours to get into these cities because you can't live there because it's so perfect. Everybody wants to live there. So it's gorgeous. And I mean, I want to go to the race meet. I've never been to Del Mar, and we had planned on it last year, but too many things happened. So I'm
one of those places I want to see. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly.
Well, let's hear from Omega Alpha, hey?
Perfect.
Omega Alpha specializes in natural formulations for enhancing equine health and performance. And they know how much personality and behavior can factor in the quality of our relationship, whether we're an Olympic-level competitor or modest weekend warrior. That's why they've created three different all-natural formulas to help us get the most out of our horse-to-human relationship. Chill Liquid, formulated especially for horses with pre-performance jitters. Chill Ultra Paste, with the added benefits of B1 and magnesium. And Premare, the hormone balancer for witchy mares, and you know who you are. Look for all of Omega Alpha's all-natural formulas at your local tack and feed supplier, or you can visit them online at omegaalphaequine.com.
Then we would like to thank Omega Alpha for being a sponsor. We would just like, before we play the song, I just wanted to, because we don't play it very often, I wanted to introduce it. It's Will to Win by none other than Clayton Fredericks. Clayton Fredericks, the inventor, also moonlights as a singer. So this is Will to Win, Clayton Fredericks.
When you know that you've got what it takes, what a difference. When everyone's dreaming the dream, then you've got to.
everybody. Coach Jen here, and I'm here with Debbie from EquestrianCollections.com, and she's got our product of the week.
Hi, Jen. This week I'm going to be featuring a new jacket that is just out from Horsewear, one of everybody's favorite vendors. It's the Horsewear Embellished Competition Jacket. And the reason I'm featuring this, because it has several new stylings that I think everyone will really like. I'm going to go over them really quickly. First of all, it is it's very stretchy. It's waterproof and breathable. Has two pockets. It has some embellishments on the collar, which are little stones, like crystal type stones, not over the top, but just very subtle, very pretty stones. And it's still washable. It's a washable material even with the stones on it. But some of the features on it that we really liked were the buttons. Actually, there's a zipper. The coat zippers up, and then the buttons are over the zipper. So there's not going to be any more pulling on your buttons. Very, very nice new idea. The top button also is a stone. The bottom two buttons are regular type buttons. The top one is a stone. So if you want to, if you're in a breed competition or something where you can be a little blingy, you can leave that stone on there. Or you can also, it's reversible so that you can reverse it to a regular button and use it in the less blingy type of situations. It also has two zippered pockets, nice to have. The arms are nice and long so that you're not going to have, you know, things over pulling up too much when you're riding. And it comes in both gray and black, and it's only $129, which I thought was really a great price for a jacket with all these things with them. So I thought I would bring that to everybody's attention now at the starting of show season.
It's a lovely jacket. I love the zipper underneath the buttons because, like you said, no gapping while riding over fences. And machine washable, I'm all about that. And it's $129, a great deal for something from Horsewear. It's the Horsewear Embellished Competition Jacket. Thanks a lot, Debbie. We'll see you next time.
And we've got our next guest on the line. I would like to welcome from HorseNation.com, Leslie Wiley. Hey, Leslie. Oops. I think she's here. Let's put her on.
We're
Leslie,
working on
morning.
It. It's thinking. There she is. Yay!
Good morning. How are you?
I'm great. I'm great.
Thanks for joining us. And I would like to thank you for one thing. Leslie,
yes.
We need to talk.
Oh,
you're
no.
killing me. You're killing me. You know how hard I cried? You know how hard I cried after reading the article you wrote about taking care of old horses? Oh, my God. I want to give you a big virtual hug because tell everybody the story about your gray pony that you have now that you got back.
I don't write too many columns. Like, I think I just have this journalism school baggage that writing in first person makes me a little twitchy. It just feels wrong. But this was such a neat story. I just had to write it down because I feel like this is something that, you know, like a lot of people have this horse in their lives. Basically, my first horse, his name was Mishka. I got him when he was 3 and I was 12. And it was like match made in heaven, right?
Yeah, right.
But well, were my parents trying to off me? Not sure.
He's an Arabian.
But yeah, through a great trial and lots of error, we made our way up the levels. We ended up eventing through training, and he was just like a super cool dressage horse, and we fox hunted, and he was just my best friend, you know. Like, I went to the barn every day, you know, just put up with all of the, you know, horse crazy little girl stuff that we all did. And you know, he was my buddy. I think he's one of the, if not the most influential horses, but, you know, one of those relationships that's just special. When I was a junior in high school, And he, you know, he's super athletic. He's like 15 hands, and we just, it was sort of like, well, you know, if I wanted to move on up the levels in eventing, I kind of needed to move on to a different horse. But we found him the perfect home. He went to live with these two little girls who, I mean, he got to show them the ropes of competing, and they won a million blue ribbons, you know, together. And he lived at their parents' farm. And now both the girls are grown up and married. And one of the girls, the daughters, reached out to me at the end of last year and said, you know, her parents were selling the farm, and it just gotten a little to be a little much for them to run. And did I know of anyone who might be interested in rehoming Mishka? You know, who's 24 now, and I'm 33. If that puts it in context. So they had owned him for 16 years, and of course, you know, like, I was like, okay, let me think about this. 1, 2, 3. Thought about it. Yes, I'll take it.
Oh.
Of course. So he came and to live with my other horse in February, and it's just been so cool to have him back in my life. And I've hopped on him a couple times, which, you know, is super fun. And you know, this is just great. This happened over the weekend. It's a great example of Mishka's character. So last week I've been like, oh, Mishka, you know, you're kind of a internet celebrity this week, you know, like, blah, blah, blah. And so I took him down to the ring on Saturday, and he was, like, sort of prancy. He's got, like, these girlfriends now at the new farm. He's got a, you know, he's got stuff, you know, stuff going on. So he was winning for his girlfriends, and so I'm bringing him to the mounting block. He pulls away from me, does a little side buck, bolts out of the ring, and runs all the way back to the barn where his girlfriends are. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, you're 24 years old. And I'm just like, I've just been, like, singing your praises. Everyone on the internet thinks you're this, like, sweet, amazing. I'm like, man, it is not, never changed. Some things never change. And then I brought him back down to the ring. He was a total perfect angel. He was like, haha, just making, keeping you on your toes, Mom. I love him so much. He's a rascal. But, you know, I don't know. I'm just so lucky, I think all of us have one of those horses in our lives that, you know, that the special ones. And if we're really lucky, you know, we get to keep up with them, you know, and maybe even give them a forever home, you know, which is just feels like such an honor.
I'm going to read a quote or two from the article, because I want everybody, we're going to post this on our Horses in the Morning Facebook page for those who haven't read it, because it'll bring tears to your eyes. You're just such a poet. You went on to say, my answer was immediate. Of course I would take him. You become responsible forever for what you have tamed, a quote from Little Prince. Responsibility is sometimes equated with obligation or duty, but it can also be an honor. And I think that's absolutely, totally true. You know, I had to sell my warm blood. I didn't have to, but he just wasn't working out for me, and I'd had him for 10 years. And he lives this great life. I keep in touch with the owners, and they know when he's old, he comes back to me. You know, wherever he is in the world, I will provide him a home. And I had to sell fighter jet to go to off and be a hunter. And I told her, I said, listen, when he's old, I'll take him back. You know, I'll always have land. I will always have a place for these horses, and the senior horses especially just have such a special place in my heart. And I think I felt a little connection with you because of your taking care of your senior guy. And even after 16 years of him being away from you, you bring him back. And I know you don't have a farm. You're paying a board bill on this guy because you felt like you should. And I think that's a wonderful thing that you've done. And I'm glad you shared it with everybody so they can see and realize how important it is when you part ways with a horse. They're in your heart forever. It's so hard to sell a horse. It's so hard, which is why I just keep getting them in my backyard. It's so hard to let one go. And when you have to, in the time of your life where you provided him with this great home, but circumstances changed and you took him back. And I give you a big hug for that because it's an important thing to do.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it is. And I would do it for any of, I've owned several horses in my life, and everyone, the owners know that he has a forever home, or if there's, if there's circumstances change or,
Absolutely. I always say, please, I'll keep in touch with you. It's so much easier now too with Facebook, but at some point, I don't want this horse to end up at an auction on a Saturday morning. This is my biggest fear. Because if they are at an auction on a Saturday morning, it is never a good thing. So I always tell people that too, and I'm just really glad you wrote that. Now let's move on to something funny because I'm going to get Now talk to us about the 8 things we know we shouldn't do, but we do anyway.
Yeah, I'm a Pony Club graduate. I know what the rules are. I've obeyed a lot of rules, horse around the barn rules in my life. But there are some that I think are just meant to be broken.
Jennifer is also a Pony Club graduate, so you guys almost should talk about that because when I saw these rules, these things that you're not supposed to do, I never heard these things. I was like, what rules are these? So these are Pony Club rules, basically.
I mean, we're not supposed to do that?
What? Starting with hand feeding the horses is the first thing. Is that a Pony Club rule? You're not supposed to do that. I mean, the pony, I don't let anybody hand feed because they'll flat bite you for it. But I didn't know. It's just, is that a thing?
No. I mean, I think it's just sort of a general. You just don't want to. You don't want your horses to get nippy. And I don't know. I'm the worst. I just give my horses treats hand over fist, and they're always looking at me, like I just can't help it, so this is probably not the best rule of thumb, but
I grew up in that food is love kind of household. I'm giving my horse treats.
Now Leslie and Jennifer, are you the kind of people that will put the horse cookie in your mouth and have your horse eat it out of your mouth?
No.
You are.
I don't know, but we totally split. Like, he'll take a bite out of an apple, and then I'll take a bite out of the apple. And he'll take a bite out of the apple, whatever.
Yeah.
It's not gross. It's horses. I wouldn't eat after people, but I would eat after my horse.
Yeah, I totally get it. I love this one. Lead the horse with just a lead rope. Guilty. Lead two or more horses. Yeah, I know. Lead two or more horses at once. I actually, to turn out the horses last night, we used a neighbor's pasture, and I hopped on Duke, and I ponied two other ones. Like bareback, I had a helmet on. But that's just what you do, so lead two or more horses at once. I love it. And, lead the horse from your car. I don't do that. Mm-hmm. But
been there, done that.
Really?
We used to lead the one horse when I worked at a breeding farm way back in the day. The breeding farm was enormous. It was several miles across, and there were public roads interspersed. And to get the teasing stallion from one section of the farm to the other, we put him on a lead rope, and the person in the passenger side or of the pickup truck would hold the lead rope out the door, and that little horse would trot along next to that pickup truck at 20 miles an hour. It used to be a big thing that we'd see how fast you could go every day. Yeah, down the road. Public road. Just cruising down the road, yeah.
And then there's the sit on the horses in the pasture. Who doesn't do that? You just get on the horse and just sit there while they graze. Usually it ends up with the horse taking off and me getting bucked off, but it doesn't matter. I did it.
This one, teach the horses to work zippers. And then there's this sort of gif of a horse zipping and unzipping a girl's jacket. I'm the worst about stuff like this. Like, my horse will just, grab onto my jacket and pick me up, and I'll be like, that's so cute!
Yeah, I wonder why Mishka was so naughty. Uh-huh. Yeah. Because you encouraged it.
Yeah.
Another story that really got a lot of traction and a lot of views and was shared a lot was something I had never thought about, and I think you said you had never thought about it either. What would you do if, while you were out on a hack, someone attacked you and your horse? Police are urging riders to learn the basic steps to protect yourself while riding out alone. I would not have thought about being attacked. I would have thought I'd just turn tail and run, but maybe that is not always an option. So talk to us about this one.
Yeah, Amanda Renan wrote this, and it just has some good tips about, you know, if you're approached by someone or attacked, I mean, if while you're out riding, which apparently happens more than judging from our Facebook comments, a lot of people had firsthand experiences of this. You know, a lot of us ride out on the roads, or, you know, there's creepers out on trails, some, you know, public trails sometimes. And so I guess, you know, it's just something I'd never thought about, but it's a good to know, good to, you know, have some guidelines for what to do should that happen. I think the, you know, carrying a cell phone, that's a no-brainer. If an attacker grabs your rein, turn into the attacker as fast as possible. Just continue turning and pushing forward into the attacker separates, and scream. You know, it's just things that if that was happening to me, I just, you know, I wouldn't know what to do.
Well, I thought this one was interesting. If someone grabs you, your saddle, or your reins, move forward as violent and fast as possible into the attacker. You were just saying that. Because if you pull back, they could pull off your bridle. They could, the horse could rear up, and that, you know, that flip over thing when they're tied and it's like they let go and then they flip over. That could be serious. But you run it over them. Yeah, I like it. Just run right over them.
Just run over them.
And you know something, when I first read that, I kind of had a light bulb moment because, oh my God, my first reaction would have been to pull away.
Yeah, absolutely.
The horse. Yeah, and it's just the reverse that you need to do.
And a lot of the comments are kind of also giving people some other ideas too. Oh, I love the one person's like, carry a gun. carry a gun when they're riding. I'm not going to carry a gun.
I had no idea so many Horse Nation citizens were packing heat until I read this. And people were posting pictures of, like, their guns and their holsters and their saddle, and oh my goodness. Like, well, that's another strategy, I guess.
Yeah, just shoot somebody. You'll be fine. Just go ahead, kill them. Oh, that was another good one. But let's see. You've got the what else did you have on Horse Nation this week before I let you go? Anything you got going on?
Oh, yeah. Well, this was funny, and we still actually have one edition of it left. So we asked people to post pictures on our Facebook page or email them to us of mare glares. Just, you know the look on a mare's face when they're not happy. And we got, I mean, people, we got well over 100 photos of people's mares with their ears pinned back and just glaring at the camera.
I'm surprised that many people own mares. I didn't know.
Yeah, so we've been posting those, and that's too funny. I don't know. grumpy man.
Very entertaining, and I noticed you did have a gelding edition, too, so the gelding category. So, yeah, I think mare glares happen a lot when you're being ridiculous. Like, the mares are always like, you're stupid. That is exactly what a mare glare says to me. So, anyway, well, Leslie, thank you so much for being on with us, and thanks for writing the story, and that made me cry, and I really appreciate it. Good, you know. You cry on a Tuesday afternoon. Why not? Well, give Mishka a big kiss. Actually, give Mishka a carrot from me, from your mouth. Like, put it in your mouth and let him eat it. And tell him.
I totally will.
All right, Leslie. We'll talk to you again next Monday.
Okay. Have a great week.
All right. Okay, bye.
Bye.
So funny. And next we're going to talk to Jenny Autry from Eventing Nation with our Rolex preview, but we've got the Rolex promo. Are you ready, Jennifer? Can you hit it?
3, 2, 1.
If you love horses, if you love show jumping, cross country, and dressage, then you're going to love the Rolex Kentucky 3-day event. It's the best weekend all year.
I think it's the most amazing place that I've ever seen. I mean, I've seen it on Eurosport, I've seen it on the internet, but then when you actually drive into the park, you just think, oh my God, it is just amazing.
Rolex Kentucky at the Kentucky Horse Park is the only 4-star eventing competition in the Western Hemisphere. 4 stars is the highest level of competition, the same level as the Olympics. The horses, riders, vendors, and audience come to Kentucky from all over the world.
The Rolex is fantastic here. I'm the 3rd time here, and next year I will be back.
It's a great show, and there's lots of people, a whole mix of people here, which is really good.
The whole family will enjoy the beauty of the Kentucky Horse Park grounds and the magnificence and power of the horses and riders. Rolex always happens the last weekend in April and a week before the Kentucky Derby. Make plans now to visit us for the Rolex Kentucky 3-day event. We'll see you in the bluegrass.
And I know that we have really been working pretty hard making our picks, Jennifer. Did you make picks, or are we? You just going to read Glenn's picks?
I made picks.
Ooh, really awesome.
I had to think long and hard about that.
I think Jenny Autry from Eventing Nation is on with us. Hey, Jenny.
Hello, how are you?
Fantastic. Thank you so much for joining us. It is getting close. Oh, my gosh. How many more sleeps till Rolex?
We are 9 days away from the first horse inspection. It's unbelievable. It's almost here.
I can't believe it. Oh, I know. I'm not going to share. So you're heading out. When are you going to make your way to Lexington? First of all, where do you live?
I live in South Central Pennsylvania in Harrisburg. So I'll be leaving a week from tomorrow. We like to get in a day early before the first horse inspection starts so we can walk the course, catch up with some people, kind of take some pictures to show everyone the hustle and bustle at the horse park before the competition gets underway. So, yeah, we hit the ground running, and we don't stop for the rest of the week.
This has got to be the Kentucky Derby for Eventing Nation for sure. Is it just nonstop coverage? Do you get to see anything, or are you typing away the whole time?
We do. I mean, we are there first and foremost to work, but we have a lot of fun as well. And it's actually quite funny. We have this tradition where the site always crashes at some point during Rolex. So we've been furiously running updates and getting our servers in line so that hopefully this year we don't crash, but we have over 500,000 page views in the span of, 5 days. So it's just a lot of traffic for the site to handle. So this year we're hoping that we don't go down. If we do, I'm sorry, and we will get it back up as soon as we can. But it's just everyone from around the world is coming to Eventing Nation because we're just constantly posting new content and they want to see. So we love the enthusiasm. And, yeah, this is our Super Bowl and we're ready.
Absolutely. It's the Super Bowl. Now, are there any new surprises and entries of people dropping out, people adding in? What's the story?
We're down to 82 entries this morning, and the biggest story is that, unfortunately, Sinead Halpin has withdrawn Manoir de Carnival, who's, one of the favorites, definitely, for our Americans. I know. And so she just missed a few gallops, didn't run at the fork, and has decided that they really want to focus on trying to go to the Olympics next year in Rio. And so she's decided that they'll sit this one out with a bigger picture in mind. So it's a smart decision for the horse. And, we're sure that this will not be the last that we see from them. So that's the big withdrawal at this point. No other major shakeups yet, but, we still have 9 days to go and anything can happen.
So the horses, like Zara Phillips' horse, when will they ship over? Are they getting on planes today or what?
Yeah, they'll be getting ready to ship, and they'll come in, a bit earlier. They stay in separate stabling at the horse park for quarantine, and they'll, be kept totally separate. They jog separately from the other horses, and that's just done just to make sure that, you know, all the horses are safe and to follow all those strict protocols that the FBI lays out for horses that are coming in from other countries. So, yeah, their journey will start a bit sooner than all of the Americans. The Americans will start leaving on Monday and Tuesday of next week to get settled in and be ready to go on Wednesday for that first horse inspection.
So they'll get there, like, let's see. Like, I've got friends, you know, one of my trainers out here, Barb Crabo, is going to make the journey, and I'm trying to figure out, like, it's going to take her a couple of days from Phoenix to drive all the way over, and I know there's some California horses coming. But I do love the fact that I think I read on Eventum Nation, one of the California people was like, oh, yeah, I'm just going to fly him over.
Yep, some people do that, and some of the Californians, have come, sometimes they'll come early, so they'll come and do some competitions here on the East Coast to get ready. That's what McKenna Shea and Landioso have done. They were at the Fork a couple weeks ago. So some people like to come early to kind of get their horses acclimated, get settled in. Some will fly over, you know, the day before. It just kind of depends on what's best for the horse. And, yeah, we see people coming, you know, in all sorts of different ways.
That's ridiculous. I'm sorry. It just seems crazy to fly within your country. Oh, yeah, I'm just going to fly. But, you know, I guess, I mean, this is like the Super Bowl and you have an entry. You know, you're in the Super Bowl, so you might as well do whatever you can. Spare no expense. Not that any has been spared. So I guess that's what they're going to do. Anybody else standing out? Have you seen anybody, been watching anybody training, any insider information?
Yep, well, I'm gonna make three picks today. So first pick is I'm going to make our best American performance pick, and I know I talked about her a few weeks ago in our first preview, but Lauren Kiefer and Veronica stands out to me again as our best American performance. They were second last year, best American last year, and I'm calling it again that they're going to do it this year. They have had a fantastic season so far. They haven't placed any lower than third at the advanced level all year so far. They've won at both Red Hills and the Fork. And just to show you how hot they're coming in right now as we're counting down the days, she just did the dressage this past weekend at Ocala where they ran an advanced combined test for all those horses that are going to Rolex, helping them prepare. And she won the dressage there doing the four-star test that they'll be doing in Kentucky. She won it on 37.5. So needless to say, they are coming in hot. They are coming in hot. They've already been around the course clear last year, jumped clear in show jumping last year. They're so on point. So I'm calling it best American performance again, Lauren Kiefer and Veronica.
Okay, best American performance. Jennifer, I'm looking through because I didn't have that category, but I want to make a best American. I have so many that I'm, like, emotionally pulling for.
I know.
And I'm trying to separate that because I have no emotional ties to Buck Davidson whatsoever, but Bally No Castle, I just can't imagine that he's not going to be the best American performer. He's just just had an awesome career with that horse.
Yep, and that's a sentimental favorite. I mean, he's such a fan favorite on Eventing Nation. Every time we post something about Reggie, people just love that horse. And so the owners have always said that Reggie will decide how long he wants his career to go, and the horse has made it clear that he's not done yet. So they'll go back to Kentucky where they were our top-placed American performance. In 2013, they were fourth, and then in last year, they were third. So, I mean, they've been right up there as well. They could just as easily do it. Totally agree.
It's just his time to win. It just has to happen. I mean, if it's going to happen, it's got to be Reggie.
The horse, he's 15 now. He's in his prime. He's so seasoned. He knows his job so well. Buck has such an amazing relationship with the horse, and so, I mean, there would be a dry eye in the house if that horse won the whole thing. I mean, it would be an amazing thing for America and the owners, Carl and Cassie Segal, who have supported Buck for such a long time. I mean, yeah, I would burst into tears, that's for sure. That would be an amazing thing. So I'll root for that, that's for sure.
Yeah. Jennifer, do you have a highest placed American rider pick?
I do, Philip Dutton.
Yay, Philip.
I think that weather is going to play a factor, and the Philip Dutton experience is going to play into it.
Well, and he is our last American to have won it in 2008 with Canott. So, yeah, he has the track record.
Experience just comes so much into this. You just see so many of the – a couple years ago, we had three Rolex, you know, newbies come on the show, and just to kind of followed through the whole experience, and, you know, not one of them made it to show jumping. And it just, I think that Rolex experience really comes into play at a 4-star horse trial. Obviously, it's like I'm saying that the sky is blue, but I think it really, really makes a difference. And there's a lot of people that are coming back. I'm interested in how Gina Miles is going to do. I don't know much about this horse. Tell us about her horse, SVR Ron.
Yeah, I think everyone is so excited that Gina has a horse back at this level now. She's always been at Rolex. She always does the Rolex Ride the Course. So I'm wondering if she's going to be doing it this year. Like she'll go on the tour with the journalists to get to preview the course. And so this year she will actually be riding the course herself. So this is a horse that was previously ridden in Uruguay. So he has interesting breeding, and she got the horse in 2012. And has had good success with it out on the West Coast at the 3-star level. This is his first 4-star, of course, not her first 4-star. She knows the horse park well. And, we're just really excited to see her back at this level because it's been a while since she's had a horse. So, it's really exciting, and we're really hoping that she has a good showing as well.
And then who was your next pick?
So my next one is Best Rookie Performance from a first-timer at the star level. And that I'm giving to Maya Black and Doesn't Play Fair, who if you haven't seen this horse go, you have to keep your eye on him, in part because he's this little pint-sized thing. I think he's 15-2. He's teeny tiny, but he packs a powerful movement in dressage, and he's a jumping bean. He is so cool to watch. They won the 3-star at Plantation Field last year in a very star-studded field. They were third at Galway Downs in the 3-star in November, and they've just kind of quietly been plugging along this season, getting prepared, getting ready to kind of throw down all the stops in Kentucky. And they just have all three phases, and I'm expecting them to really shine and rise to the occasion.
Rolex Rookie, and say who that was again?
Maya Black and Doesn't Play Fair. She's from Whidbey Island in Washington, so the Pacific Northwest crowd is going to be so proud to see her going across the Kentucky bluegrass.
Oh, absolutely. Well, and if we're going to do Rolex Rookies, if she can control him in dressage, and she's been working really hard, I think one of the fan favorites is going to be Elisa Wallace with Simply Priceless. You know, we know Elisa because of all her Mustang riding and training and Mustang makeovers. But, I mean, she's such a phenomenal horsewoman. And she's making her Rolex debut with Simply Priceless. And, again, Elisa Wallace. What do you think about her? I guess he gets really tense in the dressage.
Yeah, it is what it is. It's not his favorite phase, but he'll shine in the cross country. They cracked around at Bromont in the 3-star last year. They had a top 10 finish there. He did a great job in Red Hills in the 3-star. They were in the top 10 there back in March, which was their big final preparation. So, I mean, he looks great. He looks on point. He's seasoned and experienced now. He's 14. So he definitely, he's not green. He knows his job. So absolutely, I'm expecting a good rookie performance from them too. Won't have the score that she would hope for in the dressage, maybe just because it is going to be a lot of atmosphere, but he'll be in his element on cross country, no problem.
Yeah.
Thursday dressage.
Exactly. Well, she has a Thursday. I think she's going to be on Thursday, so that's probably a little
better
good. For her.
Good.
Yeah. But Ellen Doty is another one that I'm Ellen Doty Hume now, because she got married at Rolex last year. She went last year. She was a rookie we followed last year, but she didn't pass the jog on Wednesday with Sir Oberon, and so she is back this year to make her Rolex debut yet again. I love this horse. I knew him when he ran his first training 3-day out here at Coconino in Arizona. I was impressed with him back then, and they were just kind of starting their partnership, and it's been really fun to watch her go all the way now to the highest level. And again, that's Ellen Doty Hume and Sir Oberon.
Yep, and she's brought the horse through the level. She knows him extremely well. She was such a good sport last year with that bad luck getting spun at the very first jog, and she's hungry for it. She wants it. She's back this year. And, yeah, let's get her through the first horse inspection first. But I think that she's going to be great, too.
Oh, my gosh. Can you imagine the pressure when you're going to jog up?
So nerve-wracking. So nerve-wracking.
I'm sweating thinking about it. Now, Jennifer, do you have a best rookie pick?
I did not pick out a rookie because I knew that you would be picking Lisa Wallace, and that's the same one I wanted to pick.
Okay. And then what was your third pick, Jenny?
My third pick is the sleeper, the one who could come in, sneak in, and take it all. And that I'm going with Francis Whittington and Easy Target, who are one of the riders coming over from England. And this is a horse that scored a 36 in dressage at badminton last year and won Blenheim in the fall. So we know that he can jump clear in show jumping after a tough cross country. We saw him just dominate at Blenheim, and to score 36 in dressage at badminton against the best horses and riders in the world, I mean, I think that says a lot. He has all three phases, and I could see them sneak in and take it, be a surprise win.
All right, well, I'm going to disagree with you on the sleeper pick because I just don't think that anybody, if there's a sleeper, it's got to be James Alliston and Tivoli. Oh, my gosh. That horse is so incredible in the dressage. I mean, I think his other horse was Parker, who was just phenomenal. But Tivoli is just has this jump and this scope that just can't be rivaled. I've seen him at Galway a ton and just in love with this horse, just in love with him.
Yeah, he's come back from an injury, and they did a great job of rehabbing him. And, yeah, he's you know, class all the way. Oliver Townend had the horse years ago, and then James took it and has had a lot of success with it. This would be their first time trying to complete at Kentucky because they were unfortunately spun at the second horse inspection. So if they can make it all the way through, then absolutely. The horses looked really great. He just won the three-star at Galway last month as their final preparation. So I like that pick too. And I love James. I adore his family. And it would be great for the West Coast to see that happen. So I like it.
Yeah, of course he's from he rides for Great Britain, but he does live in Northern California, and he is just such a sweet guy too. He's just as sweet as they come, so I definitely pull for him. I think I decided I had a little crush on him, so
he's the best. His family, if you ever have a chance to meet them, his parents are John and Petey Allison, and I stay with them every year that I go to badminton. They're like my second family in England. They are just salt of the earth, lovely people, and James is just the best that they come. So I would love to see him have a good Kentucky, and I think it's going to be with this horse. I totally agree. They should have a great performance.
I had no idea you had those connections to his family. I just picked him, and now I'm kind of shocked you didn't pick him either. I'm going to tell his parents. I'm going to tell his parents.
I love you, James. I love you, Allison.
You're in trouble now, Jenny. Jennifer, who is your sleeper pick?
My long shot is Zara Phillips on High Kingdom.
Oh, yeah.
There are so many people that want her to win. She is just so awesome.
That girl, she was so impressive at the World Equestrian Games last year. She was one of the very first riders out for her team for Great Britain. You know, she'd had her first child. She was still coming back. And you would never have known it watching her on cross country. She was just amazing. I mean, got it done on a day when a lot of people didn't. And so she is just a fighter. It's so much fun to watch her go cross country. So, yeah, I'll definitely be so excited to watch them. They could take the whole thing, too. Absolutely.
She has the knack for bringing it under pressure. That's what I like about Vera.
Totally.
Oh, my gosh. I could talk to Jenny. We could go over every horse. You're so good at this. You're so good at this. And our show is actually supposed to be over, and we're just talking away. So are we going to talk to you again next week one final time?
I believe we are. And, yeah, well, hopefully we won't have any major shakeups with withdrawals or anything like that. But if there are, I will let you know. I'll be here.
Fantastic. Jenny Autry from VentingNation.com, thank you so much for joining us. And everybody, thank you for listening. Our show is officially over. We made it, Jennifer. No boys allowed. And we will, Jenny, we'll talk to you next week. Everybody, we will talk to you tomorrow. Have a great
day.
There
we go.
Spay, neuter, geld. End it.
But yeah,
hit the button.
Hit the button. Oh, wrong button. There we go, right button. And don't forget, ClarionHotelLex.com for your Rolex experience accommodation. Get a special deal.
Oh, yeah.
ClarionHotelLex.com. Rolex.
We'll put it on Facebook.
On Facebook.